It's time for the View in Your Mirror podcast. I'm Katie Harms, and along with Lisa Rubin, we help you check in and curate the best possible you and the best view in your mirror. We share tips, tricks, and strategies from our 35 plus years in our respective industries. We talk about your day from morning to night and everything in between. We share our uniqueness, relish in our shared experiences. Along the way, we share conversation with fabulous people who give us their own thought-provoking insights. So come along as we help you hone the best view in your mirror. Lisa.
Katie. How are you, my dear?
I am good. I'm really good. And I'm going to ask you to once again go on a little bit of a roller coaster with me. You ready?
I'm ready.
So I think you know, right? I have lost a significant amount of weight in the last, it's really been 2 years. But more of it in the last 6 months. And
you look great. But more importantly, I think you feel better.
Yes. And that is a wonderful thing to ask and point out. Yes. As I'm losing the weight and as people are, you know, it's interesting. Some people are saying, you know, I just don't notice things like that. And I appreciate them. And other people have said, wow, you've lost a lot of weight with nothing that's left afterwards, you know, and other people are saying, you look fantastic, which makes you start to wonder, well, what did I look like before? I think I always presented well. I always cared about what I wore and right. And all of those things. I had a conversation with my daughter once when we were talking about weight. And she said, Mom, I have a friend at work who lost a considerable amount of weight. And people were saying to him, geez, you look great. You look fantastic. And he said, thanks. I was diagnosed with a disease. And it wasn't intentional that I lost this weight. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, we have an opinion of this because we're visual people. So we have opinions of it. And tying into that, I went in to try on some clothing at a store. And I said to the woman helping me, she said, what's the occasion that you're buying clothing? And I said, well, I've lost a significant amount of weight. And her question to me was that an intentional weight loss? And I thought, and I said, thank you so much for asking me that. It was intentional. And I thought, what a wonderful way to approach it. Was it intentional? She wasn't making a judgment on me. She wasn't saying, you look great. She didn't know me before, right? So you take this all in. And as we are living in the world of hearing about weight loss now, we have the weight loss drugs, we have all of that. I want everyone to give grace to people as they're going through their private journeys, and also being aware that words have weight and matter. And so the comments about weight and about health and all that is important, but just tread lightly, I would say.
Listen, I understand a lot of times the way I get new clients is usually someone has lost a significant amount of weight or a person has gained a significant amount of weight. And then they have to figure out how to present themselves in the world, hence why they contact me. But I just had a client who I've known for a while, and he's lost 100 pounds. And he's at his pretty much his weight now. And so he asked me to come over and go through his clothes in his closet and help him order some things. And it's just always interesting to me because it takes a long time to see yourself in your new body. And I want people to understand that who are listening is that is okay. And when you lose a lot of weight, it will take time for you to learn how to present yourself in a different way because you're not used to it. Mm-hmm. And so we went online to order a bunch of stuff for him and he kept ordering too big of sizes. And I'm like, no, this is the size you are now. No, I think I'm this size. I said, all right, here's the deal. Order it in two sizes. And when you get it, we'll see who's right. Well, of course, it was the smaller size, but he was so excited when finally the clothes came that actually fit him. And he wanted to do a fashion show, which is so not him. And the life in his eyes and in his face. And I mean, he's like a different person for himself, but also he feels better.
Right. That's the element of it that, you know, my knees don't hurt. And I'm more comfortable sitting and standing and walking and all of these things. But I think the other thing to point out too is I don't think that anybody who knows me would ever say, gee, you're a lazy person. Why couldn't you figure out this weight loss thing? This is a journey and a progress, a process, and you have to figure out what works for you. And it's not always the same for everybody. And it takes time to figure that out. So again, I go back to the offering grace. Now, you know who doesn't offer grace in situations such as these? Nor would I expect them to, is my daughters. And let me tell you, we have had some fun with this. They are, right, your best friends, your worst critics. And I mean that lovingly. Of course, they offer grace. They spent 7 hours sitting on the bed in my bedroom, in our bedroom, making me, watching me, encouraging me, razzing me while I tried on every single item I own. I'm telling you, everything.
Boy, Katie, I didn't know about this till right now.
I
How come
know.
I get called for that meeting?
You were referenced many times. Many times you were referenced during this meeting. Lisa would not like that. Oh no, Lisa would not like that. That's going. And they were brutal in the most loving way. And I wish I at one point I did write down some of the comments. I think I took a picture. One of the comments was, "You look like a sailor on a ship." You look like a homeless person. But in the end, I think we disagreed on maybe two items in an entire. And I had nine bags, nine large kitchen garbage bags full of clothing that left my closet. And as people who are listening know, I clean out my closet fairly often. So nine bags, you would think, what did I have left? Well, that gets me into the next real quick little subject. I had the opportunity to go meet Joshua Fields Milburn and one of his sidekicks. I shouldn't even call him a sidekick. They work together, TK Coleman, and they are part of the Minimalists. If you've heard of the book, The Minimalists, which I have to tell you, I don't think I am a minimalist, although in some things, I think it's a phenomenal read. And it really just talks about getting your stuff in order, right? And his most recent book, Jonathan Fields Milburn, who, by the way, does not have a minimalist name, is Love People and Use Things. And it really is a great read. But I'm just going to read one thing in here that was so interesting to me. And it kind of goes back to why we do the podcast, too, right? We remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear together, 70% of what we discuss with others, 80% of what we personally experience, and 95% of what we teach others. Isn't that something? And it's not about the stuff. The stuff tells us a lot about ourselves and how we and where we're at with our stuff. So if you want to get further into that, I really would strongly suggest this book because minimalism can be in a lot of things. And it isn't about getting rid of things. It's about giving yourself more time, more experiences, more life, more fulfilling life. So that all came together when I looked at my closet. And I would have to say, I have not gone out and bought nine bags worth of clothing to put back in this closet. And there is not a day goes by that I feel like I'm missing anything in there, which blows my mind.
Well, Katie,
Yes.
one of the reasons that you probably don't think you're missing anything is because over the years, I've probably helped you do a balanced wardrobe. Even though you might have bought more things in each category on your own, it still was balanced. So that is probably one of the reasons that you don't feel like you're missing anything because you have each category for what you need.
Good point. So, see, all the time that you've put into me has not been wasted.
My subconscious, your subconscious, or is what my clients always say, I'm sitting on their shoulder all the time.
That's right. Like, are you on the devil's side or are you on the angel side, though, is the question I want to ask.
It depends. Sometimes, I don't know. It depends how long I've helped you.
How long has it taken a client to really get bought into what you're telling them?
Well, that's a hard question because I tell people that start with me that it takes me 1 year before they even can see a difference. And once they see the difference, a lot of my clients have been with me over 35 years, but it's for different reasons, right? and they change jobs, they go on a trip, they have speaking engagements, and then we add little things. But I always tell people, it's not about shopping for you. So if you're hiring me to be your personal shopper, I'm not your person. I'm about getting in your closet and helping you be the best version of yourself. So like you, your daughters did that, but sometimes I'm that person on the edge of the bed, right? We get rid of the nine bags. And then we evaluate, you know, what do you actually need? And are you at your goal weight? And I always tell women that they have to realize between 5 and 10 pounds that you're gonna fluctuate.
Absolutely.
And depending on what age you are, you know, if you're still menstruating, you're gonna fluctuate that 10 pounds. If you're going through menopause, you could gain another 12 pounds. Guess what? It's gonna happen. Doesn't matter what you're doing. So all of that I take into account. So that's kind of a hard question.
All
But it
right.
takes me a year.
Okay, fair enough. Now, the worlds are coming together, all the things that I love to do. I love talking about organizing and all of that. And interestingly enough, when I do closets for someone, when I meet them to talk about their spaces, especially if they're in a home that they've been living in for a while, a lot of what you're talking about doing does naturally happen because they don't want to put back into this beautiful new space what was taken out. So they tell me, geez, you did such a great job. We're able to, you know, it's just so, and I say, you got to give some credit to yourself because you didn't want everything back in there. So we account for some of that. It works really well. So that part of it, and I've talked about this a little bit before. I have a passion for sports. I have a passion for women in athletics, and my three daughters were very involved in sports growing up, and all three of them took it into college, two playing, one coaching. And sports, I think, and being active, and I think those lessons that they learned have really helped them as they've navigated some really great careers where they're at now. We have with us today on the podcast Kristen Kelsey and Chrissy Jones Schoenward. And I might have her name wrong because I'm meeting her for the first time on this podcast. They are two of the four coaches on the coaching staff of the University of Minnesota women's volleyball program, which is near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking about all things. You want to talk about minimalist? I'm thinking they have to be pretty minimalist in their lifestyles in the world of coaching, but it's something we really haven't talked to anybody about, actual coaching. So I'm excited to have that conversation with them, and especially as women's sports are taking the huge spotlight right now. If you look at all the numbers for the women's NCAA basketball tournament, right? Women's numbers far exceed men's numbers. Cost of tickets, attendance, all of those things. It is such a fun time to finally be covering this and being involved in this. And it's about damn time. That's all I've got to say. Let's bring on Kristen and Chrissy. We are welcoming Chrissy. I need you to say your last name for me.
Shunderwood.
Shunderwood, I had it wrong. Okay, Chrissy Shunderwood and Kristen Kelsey, who are two of the four coaches for the University of Minnesota women's volleyball team. And Kristen, this is you're coming up on your second season. Chrissy, you are coming in. You are brand new.
Brand new. Yeah. First few months.
First few months. So we have not had anyone in the coaching. We had Pam Borton on, but she is doing way more executive coaching in that realm, right? She's a former coach of the University of Minnesota women's basketball team and has been working in executive coaching for many years. Talk about, Chrissy, I'm going to start with you. What did your trajectory look like? I know you played for Keegan Cook, who's the head coach at the University of Minnesota at Washington. What was your major, and when did you decide coaching was it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I played, started college in 2014. I majored in psychology, which took me a bit to get there, but settled on psychology, which I really loved. And yeah, after that, decided to play beach volleyball. So for my fifth year, I played beach volleyball at Cal Poly, which is a school in San Luis Obispo, California. So I played beach there. And after that, decided to play professional beach volleyball for 3 seasons, which was really great. And I also was the graduate assistant coach at Cal Poly for a season also. So I did a little bit of coaching during my time in college. But after my pro season, I third pro season, I decided I was done playing and I got a regular job in human resources and I loved it and it was great, but I wasn't fulfilled. I was watching every single volleyball game that I could get my hands on. And it was actually my husband who was like, look, you clearly are not fulfilled in what you're doing and you're still so involved in volleyball and you miss, the aspects of the game, like not just playing, but, that re those relationships and that community. And so, yeah, I called a few trusted people who were coaching and was like, hey, I'm interested in doing this. And so that was kind of the moment for me, which was now about 2 years ago that I decided to make that decision. So yeah, it was soon after my pro career finished.
All right, Kristen, how about you?
Yeah, I actually, similar to Chrissy, was a psychology major. So I played at Michigan State under Kathy George for 4 years. And then when I graduated, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I knew that, like, having an undergrad in psychology, I wanted to get my master's. I pursued playing overseas, like, pretty briefly. And just, Michigan State was really good to me. I loved it there. And they offered me an opportunity to be a GA in the athletic department. So in the academic center, which I was like SAC president, I was super involved. So I was like, hey, I love this part of being a student athlete. They offered me a GA position. I was like, I'm gonna stay. I love college. I love this place. And they were really, really good to me. And so I graduated in May. I started my GA in June. And then that October, Kathy George brought me into her office and like got up and closed the door. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I in trouble? And she offered me a full-time assistant coaching position in the Big Ten at 22. And it took me a little while to under I knew my world was going to change. I remember like calling my parents and being like, I'm about to grow up real fast. Like this is very different. And I am so will always be grateful and indebted to her for giving me that opportunity, because now at 31, this is my ninth year in the Big Ten. And that's insane, right? And so I started coaching with her. In 2015 was my first fall. I was there for 4 years. I coached at Northwestern for 3 years. I coached a year of club volleyball before coming to Minnesota, which was such an awesome opportunity for me to see the other side. And I learned a lot. And then I came to Minnesota with Keegan last January and have just been incredibly grateful to be a Gopher and be involved in the community and being part of this program.
Well, and there are some ties to Minnesota from your father, right?
Yeah, so we always joke that my family has like half the Big Ten covered. My sister played at Illinois, my mom went to Iowa, I went to Michigan State, I got my master's at Northwestern, and my dad played football at Minnesota for 3 years. He didn't finish his career out here, but he was here, and it was so cool. When I moved here last January, he moved me. We rented a U-Haul and drove it from Lincoln and came up here. And he, my parents, for 13 years have been following my sister and myself, and they never came to Minnesota, and for him to now come around, and I was showing him Athletes Village in the Pav, and he was having these like flashbacks. We found his college dorm, his freshman dorm that he stayed in. So it feels very full circle in a way of, I remember the day I told Keegan yes, he like went to the attic and found his football jersey that he still had, and it's pretty cool. So I feel very fortunate to be a part of that story.
And I will just say too, when I heard that you were coming, your reputation as just such a solid person and such a phenomenal mentor for young women, that was exciting. So obviously, I've followed Gopher volleyball for a long time, but I remember watching you play.
Yeah, I mean, I played against Catherine, and I've known a lot of the names here, and I have a very good friend who played and worked here, and I just been involved with, I feel like, a lot of Gophers for a long time. And so thank you for that. I was fired up to receive that call from Keegan and felt like it was a great fit with Keegan and I, but also as a university who supports women at the highest level.
Yes, yeah, they really do. And Chrissy, then hearing about you coming, have not met you, did not know much, but talking to Keegan about it before it was even announced, the excitement, and he just felt like you were the absolute right person to take that position. So super excited to have you there as well. And I think the strong female connection, look, I was reading something about we want the right people in the places, right? Male or female, we want the right people to hold these jobs. But these are teams of young women. So having the mentorship of young women makes all the difference in the world. So, Chrissy, when did you know Minnesota was going to be it for you?
Great question. So I actually visited Minnesota and it was really high on my list as a recruit. I actually watched your daughter play, which is cool. So back in the day. But yeah, really was just excited about Minnesota as a recruit. And I'm going to Washington, but I've always just held this place in such a high regard. Obviously, fantastic athletes have come through here, which is great. But during my process to figure out where my next university was, it was really important for me to make sure that I was really aligned with the university's values and goals, but also with the program's values and goals. And so I was asking a lot of really tough questions. And of course, having Keegan here, having played under his system, knowing what's important to him and how he operates his teams really spoke to me. And so that was really great and helpful for me to make a good decision. But also getting to meet Kristen was really huge for me. Her and I talked about some things that we're just beyond surface level, right? Kristen and I talked about our faith. We talked about what her experience was like, the highs, the lows, and she was really honest and transparent with me. And that was helpful. Someone who was really willing to talk about the strengths of the team, the strengths of the program, but also areas where they need some assistance or need some growth. And I really loved that and felt that some of the things that they felt they were missing, I could fill, because that was huge for me, was to find a place where I felt that, I would be a value add to them, not just it being a value add to me. And so the second I talked to Kristen, actually, which is funny, because I was already sold on Keegan, but the second I talked to Kristen, and I talked to Pedro before as well, but after having those conversations, I knew almost right away. So I was a little worried about the weather, but that was kind of my only big concern, which I definitely grilled the staff on. So.
And then we've had such an easy winter. We're like, Chrissy, it's always like this, it's 65 in March in February.
Right.
They give you
Yeah.
really great coats in the
Yeah.
winter.
Yes, they
Really
do.
great coats. Really great coats. We have to talk about Pedro Menendez, who is Lauren Gibbemeyer's husband. Pedro is new this year as well, and Lauren played for the University of Minnesota. So there's all these great connections coming back in there. What do you two think is going to be the biggest thing that you will bring to the women on this team?
Good question. For me, having been in a similar position to the athletes, not that long ago, just having that relatable experience can be really helpful to be able to help them understand kind of the bigger picture. I know sometimes as young women and as athletes in general, it's really hard sometimes to see the big picture and things can feel bigger than they are. And so having that experience of, playing at a really high level, playing for Keegan, making sure that they also understand their worth beyond volleyball is something that I think is really helpful and was helpful for me because, if there were days that I didn't play well, it was like my life was over, right? My value diminished as a human. And so I think that's a message that's helped me in life that I want to spread to our athletes. So just having that relatable experience of playing at a high level and having the opportunity to do some really cool things in college can be helpful for the athletes.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout out to Chrissy. I mean, she's only been here 2 months, and the amount of respect and trust she's built with our student athletes. She has such a unique perspective in her year of being a college coach, but also having played for Keegan. It's like such a great combination that the athletes just listen and respond. And it's been really fun to work alongside her and also see the light that she shines onto our student athletes, And so everything she says, I'm just sitting here like, yep. She's already run hitting the ground running with that, which is really fun to have a mentor like that alongside me. I think for me it's similar. I always say like the mentorship, the relationship, and the growth is why I coach, And I had this conversation with an athlete yesterday. Is like our job and my job is to push you, right? It's to push you on the volleyball court, right? To be a better setter and to locate better. But it's also to push you. So when you graduate from Minnesota, you are a strong, independent woman ready to go into the world, right? And that is, yes, I want you to be an All-American and we want to get to Louisville for the Final Four next year. Like those are big rocks for us, but it's also just as important, like how you fulfill the other identities you play in your life, right? Whether as a sister or as a daughter or as a girlfriend, or there's a lot of different phases in these 4 or 5, maybe 6 years, right? With our COVID bonus year that we get for growth. And I really love that part of coaching is how do we grow these young women on the court and off the court, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally. And I want to always just be better for them. That's what gets me up in the morning is, yeah, we want to, have a kill percentage on the red and the gap. I also want to make sure that they are overcoming mental health battles and how to grow and really flourish in these 4 years being a student athlete.
And not shying away from any of those things that you've talked about, because those are real important. And you're taking young women who really are living away from home for the first time. So navigating these things, Chrissy, the most interesting thing to me, and I think this speaks to a higher level of understanding where your path is that you ended up getting hired last year. Let me see if I got this right. And then the coach quit, or was that what? However, you ended up for an entire season being the interim coach.
Yeah.
I crushed it.
Thanks, Chris.
Large college program and crushed it. Exactly, Kristen. Yeah. Brought them to a place. So one would think, why not stay there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I am so grateful for that opportunity. It taught me so much. And it happened very abruptly. It was about 2 weeks before our season started. So yeah, a lot changed very quickly. And there were so many things that I didn't know that I knew I didn't know and things that I didn't know I didn't know. And so for me, it was about, okay, what are my values? I know how, you know, the game of volleyball works, but how am I going to run this team? It's really important the way that I do this, not just that I do it, but how I do it. And so it taught me a lot about myself, about interacting with others, about, like Kristen mentioned, relationships and, you know, the things that matter beyond volleyball and how you pour into these athletes beyond just the court. So I learned so much and it was so fantastic for me to have that experience. And for me, it was something that I would have liked to continue, but actually wasn't asked back because of lack of experience, which, you know, makes sense. And that's how the cookie crumbles and it's the industry. So it was a bit of a shock to me because we did have a good season, but knowing what I know now, this was the best thing that could have happened to me in terms of there's so many things that I haven't gotten to experience. I definitely have the unique skill set of being thrown into being a Power Five head coach on a random Wednesday. However, there are still so many more things to learn for me, and we're always learning as coaches as well. And so this opportunity to get to learn from, you know, some of the best coaches and to be in the best volleyball conference is something that is completely invaluable. And so at the time, it definitely was something that shook up my life. But again, I'm so grateful that it happened because the experience I'm getting here at Minnesota is just completely invaluable. So it was a blessing, absolutely.
And what is that? Thank God for unanswered prayers.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I love that. It's great. And yeah, every day I'm just reminded of how fortunate I am to be here and to get to work with the athletes that are here, but also with the staff that are here. Our administration's fantastic. And so I've just been so blessed and fortunate to get to be here.
Very good. Well, we are thrilled to have you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you do in your off time and a few questions about that. And then I do want to hit on how the game has changed with NIL. Being involved in it and just what you're seeing in your perspective. So we will be right back. We are with Bridget Edwards from Sheer Custom Closets, and we are talking sports gear and what to do with it in your busy home. Bridget, what's the word in organizing all the stuff?
Well, for adults and kids, it's just a constant problem, it seems like. Mainly that stuff is ending up in a corner of a closet or sometimes in the middle of your entryway, but we're liking to build custom pieces in your garage or your mudroom to store all that equipment.
How about slat wall? I have seen some pretty impressive use of slat wall.
Yeah, slat wall is amazing, and it can be used for everything from your garden tools to your jump ropes to your tennis balls.
But if your kids play hockey, that's a whole different animal, right? Because nobody wants those hockey bags inside the house. So you have
right.
to do something in the garage. You have to expand your thoughts on where that goes.
Yeah, exactly. So we're putting a lot of cabinets in garages and mudrooms because not only do people not want them in the house, but they don't want to see them at all. Great spaces to contain all of that equipment.
When you put a cabinet in the garage, do you have to worry about concrete floors?
No, you don't have to worry about concrete floors. We have leg levelers, so everything goes up on leg levelers to keep the water away and to keep everything nice and even.
So also easy to clean as well.
Right.
And I think driving into a garage that has things neat and organized just puts you in the right frame of mind, right?
Yeah, exactly. Much better than opening up your garage door and having three basketballs roll out.
That may or may not have happened to you.
Right.
If you are interested in getting yourself organized from the outside in, how does a person go about contacting Sheer Brothers Closets?
They can contact us through our website at sheerbroscloset.com or by phone at 763-531-7400.
To give yourself more breathing room.
Yes, exactly.
And we are back. Chrissy, I'm going to get your last name wrong again.
That's okay. Shunderwood. Shunder like thunder. It's what I always say.
Shunderwood.
Shunderwood.
And
Say it
Chrissy
three
spelled
times fast, Katie.
Shunderwood. I will have it. I'm going to have to redo the intro just so I can get it right on there. But I should have asked that question really bad, like rookie mistake on my part.
Totally fine. My maiden name is Jones, so it took me a while to learn my own new last name, so no worries.
Fantastic. You know, I got to ask, ladies, when was the last time you put on a real bra?
Oh, that's a good question. Last weekend, I was recruiting in Indy, and one of my best college friends works for the NCAA. And she is, talk about a woman in just crushing it. She's helping run March Madness. She does the volleyball championship for NCAA. And we had dinner Friday night in Indy, and I actually wore real clothes, which was very exciting. So,
And a real bra, like an
and a real
actual.
bra, correct, and a real bra.
That's
Lisa
great.
is all about the bra.
But did you adjust the straps?
Yeah. No,
Did
probably
your
not.
bra fit you?
Things you've never thought about or thought you'd be asked about, right?
Wait till you put your bra on again and you're going to think about that. Because
Yeah.
women never adjust their bra straps.
But if I could be so bold as to say that we're talking about two women in their late 20s, early 30s, that everything is still sitting in the exact right spot that it's supposed to be. So the position of the straps on the bra are probably less important, right?
Unless it's too big and then you see it in your clothes.
Okay. True.
You know, I have
True.
an answer, Katie.
Yes, you do.
This
Yes,
is
you
my area.
do.
Anyway.
Okay. Well,
Okay.
you have some other questions, so keep
I
going.
do have some other questions. So, do you guys have a personal style? Is it something you think about, especially? I'm going to ask a lot of questions and then you can just start answering. I mean, you're on the road, you're packing. I think that would be a very stressful area for you because for most women, because they have to still put clothes on. People are watching them. And, is this something you think about or not?
That's a good question. I would definitely say it's something I think about. Kristen and I were roommates. Kristen, I'm gonna tell about our story here a little
You
bit.
can
But
tell it, yeah.
it was really cool. So Kristen will do like basically a fashion show for me, and we'll spend maybe like 10 minutes or so putting on some different outfits, asking me what I think, and then eventually going with the one she wanted and disregarding what I said.
That's perfect.
No, but it's definitely something that we think about. But the cool thing about our job, right, is that we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And so we get to wear Minnesota. So that's the fun part, right? Is hey, we know that we're going to be wearing some sort of Minnesota branding, which is fun. And there's been some things, right? Like making sure when we are places that maybe you're far away from the Midwest, making sure to wear Minnesota, because an M, sometimes people don't always know what that M stands for. And so those are things that I definitely have been thinking about. But yeah, definitely important to think about what you wear. For me, I always try to think more about, I think more about like my hair, or just being presentable, because I think there's sometimes the difference between, okay, if my hair is like curled or done and I have on an athletic outfit, there's something about that that elevates it a little bit. And even like maybe in accessories or what shoes I'm wearing, trying to elevate the outfit in different ways, because everyone in the gym when we're recruiting for the most part has some sort of athletic gear on. But just how I can elevate that, maybe some nice earrings or necklace or rings or something to kind of elevate the outfit. So that's what I would say from a recruiting standpoint.
And that all is about your personal style. It's not actually about the clothes.
Yes.
Hair, makeup, shoes, jewelry, all of that. If you wear glasses, don't wear glasses. Do you like to wear contacts or do you prefer to have your glasses on? All of that is really important to think about.
Yeah. I also think the coaching profession, since I back in my day, right, it's like really evolved. Like when I was at Michigan State, I mean, we were full dressing up for every match, like heels and blouses. We were recruiting in flats. Like I think that's why I have low back problems, is because I was standing on cement convention floors for 12 hours in Tory Burch flats, like that is not, and so I think COVID changed that. You even see it in men's basketball, right? Like, I think they started it of like, the NBA, and it's kind of trickled down of like, it's a lot more quarter zips and, black joggers. And it's kind of trended a little bit more towards the athleisure, right? Maybe as a society, but then also in that landscape. And I go back and forth, and this is something Christy and I joked about, is it's different for me because I typically was. We always Kathy George was wearing pantsuits, like she was badass, and So for me,
heels.
there is a,
and
yeah.
heel.
Oh, pumps. Like she rocked it. And that's who I learned
from. I
can
close my eyes and visualize it. Her other female coaches in the heels and the like really showing up with some outfits.
Yeah. And I think it's important that you dress for the job you want, right? Like that is a saying of like, I started coaching at 22 and I felt like I had to maybe err on the more professional side, you know, of like, they used to say, oh, you're 22 going on 30. And it was like, I think that's a compliment, but I need to look that part. Well, now I'm 31 going on 31. And it's like, what has my personal style evolved to? You know, and I think like what Chrissy said, there's a way to elevate, you know, we're wearing athletic gear a lot of the time, but there is a way to elevate it and look polished. And, you know, packing is an art, to be honest. I've done 2 6-day recruiting trips over the last 3 weeks, Phoenix to Indy, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale. And it's like, I've kind of become more of the capsule a little bit of like, it's a lot of black, some white, and then little pops of color here. I have way too many pairs of white shoes, you know, that I can just, whether it's going out to dinner with my friend or recruiting or hopping on a plane where I still have Minnesota backpacks. So I want to look presentable, right? And appropriate. That I think it's definitely something I'm thinking about, as Chrissy's story alluded to, more than I let on. And I'm also the worst indecisive person in the world. So it's like, you know, do these shoes look okay? Is this the right color? But it's definitely been an evolution, I think, into who I am and what makes me, you know, your personal style. Is it my glasses? Is it my contacts? Like I put my little silver hoops on and I'm ready to go. Like it's a different feeling. And so, but I think at the end of the day, dressing the part that you have, but also the where you're looking to go, I think still exists in our profession.
Do either one of you have a lucky piece?
I don't know if I have a lucky piece yet. I wanted to kind of touch on what Kristen said though. I think the comment about dressing for the job you have, and for me, the second that I was, you know, promoted to be the interim head coach for the year, it's like, okay, I'm going to wear heels. I'm going to wear heels for as many games as possible. And so it's something I hadn't really thought about, Chris, about, you know, dressing for the job that you have or that you want. It's an interesting concept, maybe, right, to think about. But yeah, in terms of a lucky piece, I'm not sure if I have a lucky piece. I like to wear a pin. So last year I would wear, you know, the school's logo as like a pin. And then we had a military appreciation night. And then I wore my husband, he's military. I wear a pin from his unit. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, maybe a pin. And I like to bring my Bible sometimes on the bench. That can be helpful in moments of stress. So
thank your husband for his service.
Thank you.
And you said you're rooming together. So is he deployed now?
No. So he actually is out. Thankfully, he got out last January. So he's been out for a little over a year now, thankfully. So yeah, he's here in Minnesota and loving it. And yeah, we're having a really great time here.
But you room when you go on recruiting and whatnot.
Recruiting.
Yeah. Oh, Kristen and I. Yes.
Okay. Let's go back. Well, and you got to believe too that these young women are watching your every move. How are you dressing? What are you doing? How are you showing up? Because there are future coaches sitting in that room and our future leaders and future business women. And what is it? 92% of all women in the C-suite played college sports.
Wow.
It's a heavy statistic when you think about it, right? Yeah. And as we're watching what's going on, the trajectory of women's sports right now, which I said when we came in, it's about damn time. But I'm looking at the numbers for NCAA March Madness. Women are trending much higher, ticket prices, attendance, all sorts of things in the women's game. And if now one young woman, and I can't remember, I'm blanking on her name right now. I should have written it down. Just signed an NIL deal to be a brand ambassador for Tommy Hilfiger. She is a women's basketball player, I believe.
Wow.
The opportunities are there. And this is a whole new world that we're seeing. What are you seeing in NIL and how is it affecting the recruiting trail?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely affected college athletics. And I think, you know, I think early on before it was passed and you were hearing about it, I had some fear about it, just in terms of like, as a woman, a female student athlete, of like, what does this look like, you know, in terms of body image or fairness and equality, right? And so I had some concerns before we saw it enacted. And now I think I've really come around to the other side of it. If it is a powerful way to empower our female student athletes, right? Like we have our men's athletes who are having this, and it's like, let's make sure our women's athlete are equitable in terms of their resources, right? And in terms of having this support from the NIL. And so I've really come around, you know, full circle in that, like, it's a really cool way to empower our women student athletes and to show them that they matter, right? And that women, people are watching and supporting women's sports, you know, and that money you used to see maybe get thrown into facilities, you know, is now being thrown into maybe a different context of like, hey, let's make sure our athletes and specifically our women athletes feel that support and feel that they matter just as much.
Absolutely. Chrissy, how about you? What have you seen change since you played?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was really close to the NIL period. I wasn't that far away. But what I've seen absolutely is just more exposure. It's such an amazing opportunity for athletes to have these NIL opportunities. It creates more exposure. And just the trajectory, like you mentioned, of women's athletics is amazing. It's been so cool. We had the pleasure of actually getting to watch Caitlin Clark play here at Minnesota. And I mean, it was amazing. I mean, whenever she would score, everyone was so excited. It was such a cool thing. But also, you know, it's like when you have, you know, these fantastic athletes, like you mentioned, there's so many, it brings more exposure to just the sport in general. More people are watching, more people are seeing these athletes on ESPN and seeing these athletes make these big plays, these top 10 plays. And it really just is such a great reminder that women's athletics is amazing. And we have so many incredible athletes in this space, both professionally, but also in college. And so I've just been so excited about the opportunities that these athletes are getting, both from a perspective of, hey, I get more fans watching my games, but also I get these opportunities to work with some brands that are pretty special.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had an event the other night for women's sports at the University of Minnesota, and Kiara Buford is the director of alumni relations now at the U, and she's a former basketball player at the University of Minnesota. And she's a phenomenal, but she told a very interesting story, which I think was so telling to what NIL should be protecting, hopefully is protecting. When she was recruited to the University of Minnesota, she was on campus ahead of time. I don't know what year she was in school, but it was before she could sign. So she may have verbally committed. It may have even been before that. And she met a woman by the name of Andrea Jalm, who owns More Talent, Creative and Talent. And Andrea is a huge supporter of University of Minnesota athletics and the University of Minnesota in general. She was a cheerleader back in the day. She's just an amazing, amazing advocate and ambassador for the University of Minnesota. And she told the story, or actually, Kiara told the story that she met Andrea. And Andrea said, "What are you doing now? Have you ever thought about modeling?" And so she signed her to a contract. So through high school, she signed and she modeled. She had the stature for it. She had what Andrea was looking for. And when she became an athlete at the University of Minnesota, guess what? She had to give it up. She had to give it up because it was considered something that she got from a booster, I guess. And also they had rules of what you could do outside of. And if that just doesn't tell you what's wrong with the system as it has been. And I like to talk about the fact that there are people who are scholarshiped for academics, just straight academics, that can work 2-3 jobs. They can even work for the university and nobody says boo. All they have to do is keep their grades up. But you take an athlete, what's your day look like? You're gone from, you're busy from morning to night. Do you have time for a part-time job as an athlete?
No, no way. No.
No. And yet they can't have, you know, there are people that still have a problem with this. I think what's starting to happen and what you're going to see happening is businesses are starting to get smart about these young people that have their social media presence, that can look to different advertising campaigns, that can take from their marketing budgets and say, yeah, we'll support NIL. And then we want these athletes to show up at our event here. We want that. There are so many ways to do this. If you have a business, to think creatively, every market, right? Every economy, every market, every change brings with it opportunities. So this is just a new opportunity that, like you said, Kristen, you first look at it and go, you know, but there are so many ways to look at it as a benefit to our future employees.
Sure. And I also think there's a false narrative of like the athletes are just receiving all this money. They also, there's a contract. So they have to do something in order to receive an NIL deal, right? So whether it's posting on social media or making public appearances. So there is, you know, it's a two-way street here as well. It's not just like they're getting all of this for not doing anything. There's a contract to it, right? And there has to be sort of fulfillment on their half, like you said, of a advertising or marketing or something like that as well. So I think sometimes when people learn that side of it, it also changes the perspective around what it is as well.
And in addition, they're getting their 1099s, they're learning about taxes, they're learning about how to market themselves. They're getting internships within while still playing, right? You might have other students that go to the Carlson School of Management that are able to do an internship. You can't if you're an athlete. You don't have the time to do that unless you're doing a fifth year or whatnot. So there are so many positive ways to look at this that
absolutely
fun to see. Biggest change you've seen since you played, other than NIL?
For me, what I've seen is the game has gotten so physical, which is so cool. Athletes are so talented, reaching new heights, breaking new records, seeing the game grow and get faster, and athletes get more creative. It's been so cool. And the game just continues to get better. And so that's something that I've for sure seen outside of NIL that's been really cool for me, is just to see the increase of skill and talent from the athletes. So that's been cool.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of circling back to your point of just like women's athletics, you know, and when we played, I remember, I think it might've been like my senior year that the Big Ten Network made that huge commitment to women's volleyball and they started the Wednesday nights and no other league was doing this, right? And then the Big Ten did the media day in Chicago. No other league is, and it's just grown the sport of women's volleyball that now it's the fastest growing youth sport for young women. And it's the fastest growing televised sport nationally. It's just exploded. And it's such a fun sport to be in right now, you know, at such a high level, because our athletes are, like Chrissy said, more skilled and more physical than they've ever been. And there's just a excitement about our sport and where our sport is going, that it's such a fun time to be a part of the sport. So I think that's the biggest thing of like, when you look back, you know, I'm very privileged and lucky to have only been in the Big Ten and to see this conference. But even looking back when I started coaching 8 years ago to where we are now with our viewership and our just support of women's volleyball and nationally in the Big Ten, across the board, it has exponentially grown. And it's exciting to see where it can go.
And professional leagues.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, right? Having professional leagues in the United States, having the excitement around that, you know, having one up and running right now. It's just, it used to be like only such a small percentage of, you know, women who graduated here college playing volleyball went on to play nationally and professionally. And now that opportunity is just tenfold. And so hopefully you continue to see the growth of women's volleyball from the youth level, knowing there's more opportunity after college to, you know, stay in the sport and kind of continue that trend of like being, you know, one of the things I think is the coolest part of being a student athlete, you know, especially at a place like Minnesota, is the role model side that you get for these young girls, you know, and for the young women all across this. I go to a camp at any, you know, any city in the state of Minnesota, and I've said, hey, who's been to a Gopher volleyball game? And 95% of those young women raise their hand up. And I get goosebumps because that's really cool. And our athletes are role models and mentors to all of these young boys and girls across the state. Well, now with the professional opportunities, they get to continue that relationship. And I think that's so unique and so awesome for the trajectory of our sport.
It sure is. And then having coaches like you too. All right. Favorite thing to do when you're not coaching? Last question. You have to think about when you weren't coaching. I know. When was the last time you weren't really coaching or recruiting?
Question. I think for me, I think of two things. I really love paddleboarding, and I'm so excited that Minnesota has so many lakes because I definitely plan to do that a ton this summer. And then I am also, my husband and I are both big foodies, so we love trying new restaurants. We have date night every Friday, and so we love checking out new restaurants, places to go, seeing new things. So I would say those two are probably my favorite.
Chrissy, do you have one? I bought a stand-up paddleboard that I have.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can have paddleboarding dates because I have it here in Minnesota. I bought it during COVID. So
can't wait. I'm there.
Okay. Great. You know, my first thing, Katie, you said is like, I love to travel, you know, and that is something when I have, you know, you think like I travel so often for work that I have one free weekend. I'm like, okay, where can I go? Who can I see? You know, like, do I go back home? Do I go visit a friend? Last May, I went to Greece, you know, it was just like, I love traveling. I think it's part of the reason I love recruiting and But I think when I'm here, right, I like Chrissy, I love exploring and getting outside. So I love where I live. It's super walkable. It's right on the Mississippi River. I love exploring coffee shops and just being in a new place. You know, year one was a lot. And so one of my year two goals is just like to find some community here, right? And to find a place, you know, I found a church and a workout gym and I have a bookstore and a coffee shop. It's like, okay, I'm a resident here now. Like let's meet some people, you know? And so that has been one of my goals this, you know, this year too, is to maybe not just hop on a plane every weekend off, you know, but like be a part of the community and grow those relationships and, you know, looking to be here for a while. So let's make sure that we have some community here in the state as well. So yeah.
Well, and you do have a big trip coming up for the team. Yes.
Yeah, we do. We're super fired up about our foreign tour in May.
And there are some foreign players who get to take you to their home.
Yeah. So Zeynep is a freshman DS Libro for us from Turkey. And so we are starting our foreign tour in Istanbul, where she gets to be our tour guide. You know, of course, we're going to have professionals with us, but she gets to introduce us to her family and take us to her favorite places. And so she's fired up for us to have a couple of days in Turkey. Then we go to Slovenia and then we finish in Italy, a couple of cities in Italy. So we're fired up for the experience, you know, as a group to have this experience together, but also to play some more volleyball and get those extra reps and find more opportunities to grow as a team together as well.
I said last question about 3 questions ago. Lisa, do you have any last quick question before we talk about the nonprofit?
What do you think your superpower is, Chrissy? And then Kristen.
Good question. What do I think my superpower is? I think for me, the ability to make connection. And I actually learned a lot of that from Keegan. Sometimes as a coach, you have athletes that are just different than what you've experienced. You have to find new ways to make connections with them. And one thing I loved about Keegan is that he's so persistent with that. He cares so much about his athletes and about finding ways to connect with them. And so I've learned a lot of tips and tricks for him that have been helpful for me as a coach to find ways to connect and relate and help an athlete understand that I care about them beyond just what they can do on the hardwood. So that would be, I think, for me, just the ability to make connection is something that's been really beneficial for me as a coach. So, yeah.
How about you, Kristen?
Man, it's a great question, Lisa. My first thought was that was like relationships or like understanding people. But I think if I look over the trajectory of my life, I think a big theme has been like just to stay, just like nose to the ground, stay in the fight, don't give up, you know? And coming from a kid, I was never on an elite team until my 18s year. I was an undersized setter, didn't make the tournament. And then I got to coach in Elite Eight and, you know, went through some personal struggles and just stayed patient. And it's all worked out. And I think a lot of times people would have given up or changed course. And I just bet on myself. And I said, this is what I'm meant to do. And I'm just going to stay in it. And I'm going to work my butt off. And I firmly believe that, you know, good things happen to those who work hard and do it with integrity and stay true to their values. And so I think, I don't know if that's a superpower, but I think in the moments when you're in the valley, what do you turn to? And that's been what has gotten me to where I am today. So
maybe it's your voice, like your voice from within is your superpower.
I got it. Yeah.
Your voice from within is your superpower.
I like that.
Yes, that intrinsic motivation that, oh, wow. What an honor to have both of you here. And I truly have goosebumps feeling so excited for the future for all of you. You, the coaching staff, the players, the program itself, really, really excited to see what comes of this season and beyond. So thank you for spending this time. Now, we do a nonprofit spotlight, and we've talked about featuring ACES, which is ACES for kids.org. And you're just getting to know about ACES, but they've done a lot of work with the University of Minnesota. And tell us what you know about them.
One thing when we were talking is they came to mind is just the connection they have to all of the sports in the state of Minnesota, right? They said, I think I read that they were the first and only organization to have the support of every single major Minnesota professional team, as well as the University of Minnesota Athletic Department. So I think it's unique to have an organization like this that is providing for, you know, young students who don't maybe have the resources or the opportunities as other people to also then be partnered with athletic organizations, I think is a really unique stance and something we were super excited to spotlight.
Right. So the mission of ACES is to reduce the academic opportunity gap in Minnesota and improve the likelihood of success for students in underserved communities. And the vision is that ACES students succeed in college and career and become engaged citizens in safe and equitable communities. And it's a great website. You can see a lot of what they're doing, their history, who started it. It was founded in 94 by Dr. Rajiv Shah, a physician and entrepreneur. And there's just lots of great information that you can get on the website. So acesforkids.org, super involved with, as you said, all the sports organizations in the Twin Cities and the University of Minnesota. So thank you for bringing them to us. And any last thoughts from you two before we say goodbye?
Just thank you. I mean, we are so grateful to be here, to be on the podcast, but also to be a part of the Minnesota community, the Minnesota Gopher athletic community, and the even smaller volleyball community. It's we do this series where, you know, Keegan's been really big on, we call it our Wise Woman Wednesdays. It's not always on a Wednesday, but we bring in Gopher alum, Gopher volleyball alums, or just really badass women in our community to share their stories with our student athletes. And I always leave those team meetings inspired and grateful, because this is a place that produces really strong young women. And it's a place that really values that growth and those people. So yeah, just thank you for having us. Thank you for your unwavering support. And we're fired up to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I would echo that. Just feeling a lot of gratitude. And it's always great. I think one of the big things for me in coming here is I've just been so amazed by the amount of people who care about, you know, this university, this program, people who have been here for a long time. It's so amazing to me now. Our director of ops has been here for longer than I've been on this earth, which is so cool. I know Ronnie, she's also been here for so long. And there's so many people who continue to, you know, want to give back to this program, and so many people who care about this program. And so I'm just so grateful to be a part of a community that tight knit and care so much about, you know, our volleyball program. So I feel so grateful to be here and to have been on this podcast today. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us and for having us today.
You are so welcome. And you are right to mention two women in Nau Akita and Ronnie Betty Kolash, who have been probably the most consistent people through the volleyball program for
27 years. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And amazing, really. If you want it, the tribal knowledge that Nau has, and that really are keys. They are the backbone, right?
The glue.
They are the glue. Yeah. Thank you for shouting them out. I think that's wonderful, and thank you for being with us. And
yes, thank you very, very much. I wish you both the best of luck. You're wonderful, wonderful women.
We'll get Lisa to a game this fall.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And I will definitely come to a game.
Cool. We'll get you there. And we'll end this way. Go Gophers.
Go Gophers.
Oh, Lisa, I just truly enjoyed that. Truly enjoyed that. How about you?
I loved it. I think they are fantastic women. I look forward to seeing what they're going to do. I think they're going to continue to move forward, and they're going to help a lot of other women athletes with their own lives. And the one question I regret not asking them is one of your goals to then meet these women that you've helped over the years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, and see what they learned from you?
Oh, you know, what's interesting in this field, I think I can share a little insight into that, is that when you coach like this, you definitely end up still interacting with a lot of your players. Catherine still has interaction with coaches she's had many years ago. And it is a small community, right? And it'll be interesting to see how many of the people they're coaching now actually go into coaching.
Right.
They're giving such incredible mentorship to go
and
into
passion that. And passion. Yeah. You know, both of these girls, you can see the passion they have, and it's not just a job to them.
No. And a lot of these players end up really even coaching at the high school level, coaching at the club level, and the recruiting, and you're constantly in and out of club atmosphere and gyms and all that. So a lot, you keep up with a lot of players. You really do. And then your alumni come back, and it's really pretty wonderful. So I think that would probably be close to an answer that they'd give you. Well, we really want to thank who, and what was the word that you told me? I was caveling. I was caveling. I was so excited about this podcast.
You were so excited, and I think that it went extremely well.
Yes, and we're going to get you to a game for sure. We'll get you and Ben
Yep.
to a game this fall. I think you will love it. I know you will love it. That's all there is to it. And if you're not, then we're going to have to not be friends anymore. And that would be a problem because it'd be hard to do the podcast.
And
No,
guess what,
but
Katie? If I didn't love it,
you're not going to tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
I'd know, though, because I know you that
Yeah.
well. Thank you, Lisa, for letting me go along this little ride. It was a lot of fun. And the roller coaster was good. And we want to let people know if you want to get a hold of us, make a comment, check in with us, ask a question, go to theviewinyourmirror.com. You can get access to both of us. And Lisa, you were saying we're on, what are we on? We're on.
Well, we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Very good. And not on,
TikTok.
I was going to say TikTok. We can't be trusted to be on TikTok if we don't know what it's called. And no time. We have other things to worry about than that. And we hope that you enjoyed the show. Most importantly, we love bringing great information to you, things that you might not have otherwise thought about, and just sharing the commonalities that we all have. That's what's fun. But what you must do in your daily life is to laugh and to look at yourself in the mirror and put a smile on your face and realize that you are the best version of you. So show up for yourself, find your internal voice, because you are uniquely you. Until next time.